And we have a table at the back. We have some material there. If you would like to be a part of our newsletter distribution, we're doing a couple of hard newsletters a year. We're doing emails, trying to do one every month to 6 weeks. It's just shorter email updates. So if you want to sign up for that, there's a notebook back there. Just put your name, your full address, and an email address. It's good. And we'll add you to our distribution list. We're going to add the church and pastors as well. But one of the things that I want to share with you, and this is a lesson I've done quite often, and it was kind of interesting that we did the Vacation Bible School song. And this is probably a Vacation Bible School story that you're about to hear. I mean, it's a very well-known story in God's Word, but I think it has some really good application for the church. And by the way, if you were watching me, the guys up here doing this stuff, I didn't do the signals because if hitting your wife just before you go up and speak with her is not a good thing. So I kept my hands down here. So that's why I wasn't participating. It's not because I don't love what's going on in Vacation Bible School. But anyway, what I'd like to do this morning is just kind of start out with and tell you guys a story that's from God's Word. It's from Luke chapter 5. It's the first 11 verses. And it's a story, kind of the expanded version of the call of the first disciples. And it says on one occasion that Jesus was by the lake Gennesaret, and people were pressing in around him because they wanted to hear the word of God. And he saw a couple of boats, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing the nets. And he went over to one of the boats, and he got in, and he asked the boat's owner, Simon, if he would put out a little way so he could teach the people. And Simon obliged and pushed the boat out, and he taught the people. And it says that when he was finished speaking, he looked at Simon and said, hey, let's go out a little bit deeper and put down our nets for a catch of fish. And Simon said, Master, we worked all night at this, and we didn't take any fish. But because you ask, I'll do that. So they go out a little bit further, and they drop down their nets, and immediately the Bible says they caught such a great quantity of fish that the nets were about to break. And Simon signaled to his partners to bring out another boat, and they filled up both boats to the point they were nearly sinking. And at this point, Simon fell to his knees, and he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, Simon Peter, don't worry. He said, from now on, you'll be a fisher of men. Amen. And it says they returned to shore. It says immediately they left their nets and followed him. And not just Peter, Simon Peter, but also James and John. They followed him. And we have in this story, I just want to let you guys know, I don't preach a whole lot, so I'm going to ask some questions right now because I want you guys to respond and interact with me like you have been so far. So let's just go through and let's just ask the W questions that come up anytime we approach a story. Who are the characters in the story? And kids, you guys can answer too. Who are the characters in the story from God's Word? Who do we have? We got Jesus. Who else do we have? Simon Peter. Okay. Who else? James and John. Is there anybody else that we're leaving out? What's that? Oh, to the crowd. We have the crowd. So we got the characters we have are Jesus, Simon, James, and John, and the crowd. Now, where did this take place? Where was this taking place? Lake Gennesaret, right? Sometimes called the Sea of Galilee. I think today's modern term is Lake Tiberias. Is that correct? So we're seaside, shoreside, okay, on the shore. What happens? What's going on? What's the problem? We have a problem, don't we? Jesus has a little bit of a problem. Not that Jesus ever has any problem he can't overcome, but he's got a problem this day. What's going on? The crowd's pushing around him. They want to hear the Word of God. And so what does he do? He gets out on a boat and preaches from a boat, doesn't he? I love that part. You know why? I was in the Army, I was in psychological operations, and don't think that I'm here to pull any mind tricks on you because it doesn't really quite work that way. But one of the things that we learn in psychological operations is that sound travel is really good over water. So Jesus took advantage of the natural amplification of water to speak to this large crowd of people off of this boat. Now, that's kind of pretty neat in and of itself, but it gets even better than that. So what happens after he gets done preaching? What does he ask Peter to do? Go out a little bit deeper and drop your nets. Well, I love this story. There's like three fishing stories in all the Gospels, and this is a big one right here. So what happens? They fill up the nets, right? To the point they're about to break, and they got to call a couple of boats. They got to call an extra boat up to fill the boats up. And then what happens next? What's that? Go ahead. Yes, he makes them disciples, but based on what confession? What did Peter do? Yeah, he said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." You know, I got this feeling about Peter. You know, he's a fisherman, and he's probably a little rough around the edges, maybe even a lot rough around the edges. See, I don't see Bill Dance sitting in the front of his bass boat flipping a jig. I see those guys on Deadliest Catch. And you know how rough they look and talk, right? That's a vision I have of Peter. So here's this teacher. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, in a boat with a fisherman. And they catch this great catch of fish. And the point of this story is that Jesus is calling disciples out to go with him. And there's something that's really important about disciples. And, you know, if you look at Mark, I like Mark. It's kind of like the Cliff Notes. If you ever don't have time to read everything about Jesus, you always got time to read Mark. But here's the whole story in Mark. Mark 1:17. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." It says, immediately left their nets and followed him. And going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in their boat mending the nets. He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So he kind of gives you the Cliff Notes. But if you notice this statement, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." I think there's three things in this statement we can begin to understand about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. The first two words is "follow me." How do we follow Jesus? Can you follow somebody you don't know? You have to know him, right? How do we know Jesus? How do we in this day, so we don't have Jesus walking up to us while we're down by the lake fishing and calling us out, but how to this day do we know Jesus? We read his word. That's the number one way, right? Because what we need to know about Jesus is contained here. What's another way?
Prayer.
Prayer. What's a third way maybe? Say it louder.
Studying
the word.
Discipleship.
Others that are further along than you discipling you. Yes, coming to church and hearing the pastor preach. Going back and studying the passage that Sunday yourself to see if those things are true. So that's how we can get to know Jesus. But then we have something else that's going to happen. Jesus says, "I will make you." You see, it's not enough just to know Jesus and to get into his word and hear and store all this stuff up here, but if there's not a heart transformation that's taking place, if Jesus isn't making you into something other than what you were, you're not really going to be a true follower and disciple of Christ. See, there's a transformation that has to begin to take place. God wants to change us. And what does he want to change us into? He wants us to change us into his son, essentially. I was talking to a young man just yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, when you make a disciple, you're essentially making a carbon copy or a clone of the original. And that doesn't mean we all look like Jesus, but it does mean that our character begins to conform to the character of Christ. That Jesus is working in us because of our personal relationship with him to make us more like himself. But above all, he wants us to adopt his mission. Jesus came here. He came to this earth to become, to seek out men who wanted to be right with God. You see, he made Peter a fisher of men. You know, I like Peter. For one, I like to fish, so right there we've got a point in common. And then the other thing I like about Peter is he's either all wrong or all right. Okay? You just read through the gospel. He's either got his foot up to his knee in his mouth wrong, or he's right on target. And there's a time And if you don't mind to flip with me back over one more gospel and go to Matthew 16, that he gets it really right. And this is where it's starting to get real important here, guys, for the church. You see, this is when Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Because they had gone away to Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus had asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they'd given all these answers. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." And we could go into all this, but there's really one phrase that I want us to key in on. Jesus said, "I will build my church." You see, Peter had just confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. And I don't want to get into all the theological discussions, but that's that Jesus as the Messiah is the rock and the foundation. We read in Paul's writing that he's the chief cornerstone of the church, that everything is being brought and built up around Jesus Christ into the church. I'm talking about not Gorge Springs. It's just a part of the bigger church. I'm talking about the global church. But Jesus said very distinctly, "I will build my church." And it'll be a church that hell and Satan can't do anything to. Amen. And that's important. But we have a different call. You know, we talk about going out and church planting and you know, we build church buildings. But guys, we can't build a church. Jesus is the only one that can build a church. But we have a role in it. We have a role in it. And last passage of Scripture that I want to go to is the Great Commission. So let's flip over to Matthew 28. We'll just start in verse 18, and it says, "And Jesus came and said to them," and this is just before he's about to return to the Father in heaven, okay? So this is, you know, last words real important here. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And he said to these disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." So what is our call? Our call is to make disciples. Amen. And if you want a visual of this, we'll use the church building, okay? We use drywall, concrete, brick, 2x4, rafters. We have all these building materials that come and build up this church building to make it the building. The disciples that we make are the church of tomorrow that God is building. We make disciples. If we focus our responsibility on making disciples, if you have two or three that you're leading further into knowledge and understanding and relationship with Christ, then you're doing your part to build a church. And you don't have to worry about how the church is going to look, because Jesus has already said, "I will build my church. You go make disciples." And that's what we need to be about. And that's what Kathy and I long to do in Vicenza among those military that are there. We want to build disciples. And, you know, Paul in Ephesus got in a little bit of trouble. He had a revival going so great that it was eaten into the idol business of the local idol makers. And they threw the town into an uproar. I would really be kind of neat if you guys turned on the news one day and there was a riot going on in Vicenza because all the people that run houses of ill repute and things like that suddenly had no business and got all mad at us and everybody else. But that's what we want to see happen. I want to see the Italians begin to ask questions of what's going on. I don't want this just to be a ministry to the military that's there, but something that is a light where they see what's going on and they give glory to God in heaven. Amen. That's the vision that Kathy and I have for this ministry in Vicenza. But I want to leave you guys here with a challenge. Whether you guys support us or not as a church, whether you support us individuals or not, Be about making disciples. Amen. Be about bringing to Jesus the materials that he needs, those people with, and he's going to give them gifts, and they're going to go on and do amazing things. And if you think about it, you're only here because somebody's been faithful to that call down through the ages. And it's one of the things that I look forward to in days to come in heaven is sitting down and walking out my Christian genealogy. You know, I know my dad's testimony a little bit. I know a little bit about my grandparents' testimony. But what I don't know is much beyond that. And somewhere back in Acts, you know, there's another big fishing story that happens in Acts. You know, Peter shares the gospel, and what happens? 3,000 in one day are baptized. I got to know which of those 3,000 started that chain of faithful discipleship that came all the way down to where I'm at. And I think every one of us probably want to see that as well. So let's not let the chain get broken with us. And, you know, Jesus had 12 disciples. He had three that he really, really pumped into. You know, if you've just got two, that's okay. Be faithful with two. You know, if you've got three or four, be faithful with those. And when you get them to the point, they need to be making their own disciples. And then their disciples need to be making disciples. And we'll see something great happen. We're so thankful for this opportunity to share with you guys. We covet your prayers as we go forward. And I'll just leave you one last little prayer request. I'll leave you with a couple. We're leaving our family behind, and that goes to a mother and father's heart. So be in prayer for that. This is not neat. We get asked a lot, what do you guys think about it? Are you excited to go to Italy? Well, of course we're excited to go to Italy, but there's a lot of other emotions that go along with it, especially with parents, with kids just now kind of getting their foothold in the world. So pray for our kids and pray for our hearts about our kids, that we can trust the Lord to take care of them. And y'all don't have to remember this one, but if somebody happens to and prays for it, that's really great. But pray there's somebody in Italy who can show me what I got to do to learn how to fish over there, because I'm going to want to go fishing. Anyway, thank you guys for the time. I know I went a little bit long. We appreciate it, and we love you guys, and thanks for having us. Thanks, Pastor.